As you know, I've been giving some lessons on first principles, and so in 2022 I will continue that theme. And just a list of some of the things that we'll be talking about. I'll get to some of them, maybe I won't get to all of them. We'll talk about the Bible and the historical periods of the Bible, sin and salvation, the gospel. We've already talked about the church and the kingdom of God. We'll talk a little about authority and worship, the Lord's Supper, prayer, music, and collection and contribution. And you probably recognize what Billy read to you this morning. I'm going to talk to you about the collection or the contribution, which is part of our assembly that we do. But before we get into the principles of collection, I'd just like to give you a little bit of preview of what's going to take place at the annual meeting today at 2:30. We get a look at the budget that we have planned for 2022. Unfortunately, our contribution for 2021 was about $8,000 below what we budgeted. In fact, almost each quarter was below budget. And here's the breakdown. We were down about $2,300 the first quarter, plus $800. So I was beginning to feel pretty optimistic. Quarter three was down $3,000. And then quarter four, we took a deep dive. And I talked to you the last couple of months about that. And we did pick up the last couple of months. Actually, we're on budget, but I still am very concerned. So we'll talk about that later. And our assemblies are down, and part of it has to do with the fact that we don't have all the members that are coming. And so we have been down several families now for almost 2 years. And that's been part of the problem. And we've proposed a new budget that's actually going to be 6% more than the 2021 budget. And I think if everybody's pretty much aware of inflation that's taking place, and actually it's been 7%. So the challenge that we're going to face is the fact that we're going to need at least $141 a week over the budget that we didn't make in 2021. And so we have 35 families that participate in the Sunday worship. And if therefore at least we could get an extra $5 a week per family, we'd easily then meet the budget. And because we fell short with the contribution in 2021, about the same amount, what I'm going to be asking for, if possible, is that consider a weekly contribution increase in the $5 to $10 range per family. One day at Starbucks, whatever it takes. Okay, let's talk about the collection. And we read about that, and we can be, as we look at the people as they came together and worshiped God in the first century, right after Pentecost, that group of Christians that responded to what Peter had been preaching to them, and they said, what shall we do? And in Acts 2:36 and verse 38, they talked about, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And we just go down a little bit more in Acts 2:42, and we read, and they, those first century Christians, devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. And that's the way it reads in the Greek. Those twos I've added. But I want you to pay attention to the fact that there is this definite article between each of those four different items mentioned. The apostles' teaching. Now we get sermons from the Bible, the apostles and the prophets' teachings in the New Testament. To the fellowship, we'll talk about that in a minute. To the breaking of bread, which refers to partaking of the Lord's Supper, which we've also done this morning. And to prayers, which we just done as well. So, what about to the fellowship? What does that mean? And I'm just going to show you the Greek to show you that the definite article is there in the Greek. Can't read Greek, but I can know what those little words are that are in red. That's the definite article, to the. All right. Fellowship. The Greek word is koinonia. Fellowship. It's translated contribution a couple times. Most of the time it's translated fellowship. Sometimes it's translated participation. Sometimes it's translated sharing. And you've heard this before. People talk about it's joint participation. It's sharing. But it also has to do with the contribution. In fact, if we go down just a few more verses, we're going to see what it says. I'll go back and read this one. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. And then a couple of verses down, verses 44 and 45, it says, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. So what I want you to get from this is the fellowship involved also money. And money was used to satisfy the needs that were at that time necessary. There were people there who didn't go back home like they were supposed to. They hung around, and pretty soon they ran out of money. They ran out of food. But there were those who were able to provide for them, and they willingly gave up funds to support those who were in need. So, the reference to what took place with those early Christians was they shared in the apostles' teachings, they shared in the participating of giving, they shared in the Lord's Supper, and they shared in prayers. And we do the same today. Let me talk about the collection. Billy read, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed to churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. And he's writing this letter to the church in Corinth. And they were taking up a collection because there were Christians in Jerusalem and in Judea because of famine who were undergoing hard times. And so it was time for those Gentile congregations to help support the Christians in the Judean area, and most of those were Jews. So you had Gentiles helping Jews. And so a sharing was taking place. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you credit by letter to carry your gifts to Jerusalem. More about the collection. How much should I give the Lord? The law of Christ, which is what we are under, does not command a fixed amount. The Jews, under the law of Moses, were commanded to give fixed amounts. Called it tithing, which meant a tenth. But really a better question for us to ask is, how much does God want me to give? Not how much should I give. What does God want me to give? What kind of a giving heart does God want me to have? Well, the best way to do that is to kind of look at some of the examples of people's contributions and giving. And we'll look in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Tithing, giving a tenth. Actually, before the law of Moses, tithing took place. Abram, he's not even Abraham yet, he's Abram, gave a tenth of everything to Melchizedek, the king of Salem, who happened to be priest of the high of God, Most High, and we read about this in Genesis chapter 14. So Moses picks up in Genesis 12, and he's got his cousin that comes with him, and they go to the land of Canaan, and they separate, and Lot picks the fertile lands of the valley of the Jordan, and eventually ends up living in Sodom. And of course, we all know that didn't go very well. And at one point, there were some other communities that came, and kings that invaded and plundered Sodom and took the people off and took the goods away, and they were bringing them back to their particular countries. And when Abram found out about it, he gathered up some men and he went after them, and he was successful. Why? Because God was with him. It wasn't his army. It was just God was able to conquer these kings. And so he's on his way back, returning with the people and the goods that were taken away. And so he is confronted by the king of Sodom, as well as the king of Salem's, the priest of God, Melchizedek. And we'll read about that verse. It says, "And Abraham, after his, referring to Abram, returned from the defeat of Chedorlaomer, and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Shaven, that is the king's valley, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of the God Most High. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything." So before the law of Moses, this tithing thing was already taking place. Another Old Testament thing has to do, of course, with the law of Moses. The Israelites were commanded to tithe to support the Levites. The Levites, the descendant of Levi, one of the 12 sons of Jacob, were not given a land. They were not given a portion of land. It was not divided among them. They were given cities that they would occupy, but their role was to teach and keep the law and teach the law to the people. And so they needed to be supported. And the people were asked to give a tenth of what they earned to support the Levites. And this is found in Numbers chapter 18. And the Lord said to Aaron, "You shall have no inheritance in the land, neither shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the people of Israel. To the Levites I've given every tithe in Israel for an inheritance, in return for their service that they do, their service in the tent of meeting, so that the people of Israel do not come near the tent of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tent of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquities. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout all your generations, and among the people of Israel they shall have no inheritance. For the tithe of the people of Israel, which they present as a contribution to the Lord, I have given to the Levites for an inheritance. Therefore, I have said to them, of them, they shall have no inheritance among the people of Israel. So there was a contribution somewhere that provided the needs for the Levites. And it was a command. What about giving in the New Testament time? The law of Moses was nailed to the cross. It's no longer in effect. What were the New Testament Christians? Well, we already read about how that they were just basically providing money to the needs of those first Christians in Jerusalem. But what about later on? Well, we read about what Paul did as he went to the Gentile congregations in Macedonia, that he was collecting funds there to bring to Jerusalem. And they were to do that when they had assembled on the first day of the week. Well, let's look at some basic principles first. Jesus, on his Sermon on the Mount, talked about being anxious and worrying about clothing and food and things like that. And he basically told his followers, don't worry about these things. First thing you got to do is seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You put that first. And then God's going to take care of the rest for you. And he mentioned about the birds and the flowers and all the things that you see in creation that God takes care of. And so, not a problem. And we won't have a problem either. He said in verse 31 and 33, don't be anxious saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So, to make a contribution of what we have, a portion of what we have, is going to be easy because we've got God taking care of us. Jesus also said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. What's he talking about? Give what? Time? Yeah. Money? Yeah. Effort? Yeah. Work? Yes. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Let's look at it in the context, though. Jesus said, and by the way, you don't read this in the Gospels. You have to read this in the book of Acts. I mean, we have Bibles that have red letters in the Gospel accounts where every time Jesus is saying something, but this saying, it's better to give than receive, is red letters in the book of Acts. Interesting. Therefore, be alert. Remembering that for 3 years, okay, who's Paul talking to? Paul is talking to the elders from the church of Ephesus. He's not in Ephesus. He's on his way back to Jerusalem. But he's talking to the elders from Ephesus, and he's asked them to come, actually, away from Ephesus to talk to them. And so he says, do not cease. He said, therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night and day to admonish every one of you with tears. I now commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. What Paul's saying here is, I worked with you guys for 3 years, but I didn't do it for money. I didn't do it for fancy clothes. And I did it with tears. I wanted you to know what God wants you to do. And you yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. So not Paul not only worked to take care of himself, he actually helped take care of those who were with him. In all things I've shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. What I'm trying to do is set the tone of what our giving should be like, what God wants us to give like. Jesus tells the story of giving as he observes it in the temple. And he sees a poor widow offer all that she has to live on. Whoa, that's more than the tithing. That's all she had. Well, let's read that story. Luke 10, 21. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow putting in two small copper coins. You know, usually when we read about money in the New Testament or in the Old Testament, it's gold, it's silver, but now we're talking copper coins. So these aren't worth much. She puts in two small copper coins. And he said, truly I tell you this, what this poor widow has put in more than all of them. He's watching people contribute. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all she had to live on. Pretty scary thought there. The principle of sowing and reaping. A lot of metaphors are used in the New Testament and Jesus' teaching because the people there can understand what he's trying to say from a spiritual standpoint by thinking about the physical things that they're involved with. And, you know, the parable of the sower is one of the first parables that Jesus gives. And basically, if you don't spread any seed, don't expect to get any harvest. Now, I just thought about this. God did take care of harvest even when they didn't sow. There were years of that they were told to let the ground just lay, and God would provide for them. And so every 7 years there was a Sabbath of some sort where they didn't actually sow any seed, and then there was every 49 or 50th year there was the Jubilee and they didn't do it, so they didn't sow seed on the 49th year, and then, I'm digressing, and then in the 50th year, but God provided for them. Again, just like manna, God provided. Okay, sowing and reaping. Sow a lot, you get a lot. And God loves a cheerful giver. So that's the other component. So you've got this idea of not giving out of compulsion, not giving because God said I have to, but giving cheerfully, wanting to give. And here it is, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read two verses for you. The point is this. This is what Paul's saying. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Who also sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly, not under compulsion. I got to do this. God wants me to do this. I got to do it. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Certainly, contributing is a good work. So here's the bottom line. And this is just me. My opinion. I like to set goals. And so with regards to giving, this is kind of what I glean from looking at the Old Testament, where they gave a tenth, and they were required to do it, and we have the New Testament, where we're not asked to give any amount. But we have these principles of putting God first, and being a cheerful giver, and those kind of things. And so I would recommend this. Consider, as a goal, to give at least 10% of your gross income, about 8% of that to the church, and the other 2% to other charitable needs. Okay. And if you're not there, if you're not even close to that, it's a goal. It's, you know, as God will help you, as God will make you prosper, you don't have to be like the poor widow and give everything you have. But as life goes on, God will reward you, and keep this in the back of your mind and go, I would like to be able to contribute 10% to the charitable needs of the church and of our others as well. That takes planning. And what that also requires is that you think about what you're going to give to the Lord first. It's putting God first. It's not giving God what's left over. Oh, do I have any money left over? I'll contribute that. No, it's planning. It's planned giving. Just thinking about it. We didn't meet last week. And this has been the situation in the past. And we don't necessarily see twice the contribution the following Sunday. We see more than maybe just what we would get normally, but we don't see twice. So that has an impact on the first quarter, usually, is because we do have to cancel services because of snow. But if you have planned giving and you set aside a certain amount of money to give, you give it every first day of the week, whether we come or not. Think about that, please. Think about increasing the percentage of your giving as you prosper. Hey, I got a raise. I'm going to increase my giving. So, to conclude this lesson on giving. Cheerful giving, I think, will be a lot easier when you've already planned it. You've set aside some amount. It's not being done out of requirements or reluctantly. It's like, oh, I got anyway, it's planned. And you just take it right off the top of what you're getting and you give it. Whatever it is, it's planned. And every first day of the week, you're going to give that amount. And then if other things come up, you're going to also have some extra to give to that as well. And that's going to make you feel good. You're going to be cheerful about it. And I'm confident, really, if we put our minds to this, the members of this church will be able to meet the contribution challenge for 2022. Been a member of this congregation since 1970. And we have never had a problem meeting our financial needs and providing help for those who need. I have confidence in you. We can do it. God will reward us. Thank you very much for your time. Well, every time we assemble, we don't want to miss the opportunity to invite those who are not yet followers and disciples of Jesus to become Christians. God sent Jesus to save us The core of the gospel message is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus our Lord. Death has been conquered. Jesus did it. You just need to believe, repent, confess, and be willing and obey baptism. That is the immersion in water for the forgiveness of your sin. And the blood of Christ will wash away your sins and you'll become a new creature, sinless in the eyes of God, and rewarded with everlasting life with the Father and the Son in heaven. So if you're subject to the gospel, that's the good news. Why don't you come now as we stand and sing?